Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
The Georgia Bulldogs will come to Mississippi State in the month of November. It's almost a rivalry at this point between these two squads. They've met so much over the last 5 or 6 years. Our friend Jordan Hill has become a regular guest with us as a result of that over from Dogs 24/7. I want to look back at last year's game. That was an interesting game between Mississippi State and Georgia. State was in the game. State offensively was really good in that game, and defensively, if they could have just gotten another stop, that could have been a really interesting, final few minutes there in Athens. When you think back to that game, was Georgia just off that day, or did Mississippi State elevate its play when you really think about it?
I think it's kind of a combination of both things. And if you look at that game, I don't remember the score exactly, but I think Georgia
41-31.
Georgia gets up maybe three touchdowns at a certain point. I think they kind of got caught sleeping a little bit. And, Michael Van Buren really had a big game, and Georgia's secondary, which on the whole, I don't think it lived up to expectations last season. They took advantage. Mississippi State was able to make some plays, and it got to a point late in that game where you're like, if Mississippi State could get an onside kick or, like you said, get a stop, we might have something. And, if I'm remembering right, I think that was the week before Georgia was going to Texas. So I kind of think during that game, Georgia kind of got a little comfortable. And to Mississippi State's credit, they took advantage, and it wound up being more of a shootout than I think anybody expected in that game.
And it's kind of interesting. State's last two trips to Athens have been that way. They played each other in the COVID year, and that was a game where State only had, I think, 45 guys dressed out, and that game was tight as well. Last trip to Starkville for Georgia was memorable for two reasons. One, Georgia won pretty easily, but two, the amount of Georgia fans in Davis-Wade Stadium that day is something we still kind of talk about. This Georgia team, when I look at them on paper, I feel like I'm kind of betting on their reputation at this point, right? It's Georgia. I know they recruit in the top three every year. Kirby Smart is a great coach, so I know they have a lot of talent, but at the same time, there's not those big, huge names that just stand out to me. Am I onto something here where I'm just saying, well, it's Georgia, I just know they're going to be good?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing. You go into this year, and I would say this year, more than most, there's not really that one or two guys that you're like, that's a first-round lock. And, typically that comes on defense. I mean, I look at the year prior, Malachi Starks, everyone felt comfortable with him being a first-round pick. He winds up being a first-round pick. Mikael Williams was a very popular guy going into last year, and he becomes a first-round pick. I don't know that Jalen Walker was necessarily a lock going into last year because he had such a good year and winds up going pro. This year, there's not quite that many of those guys. There's a couple guys I think have a chance to be first-round picks. Probably Dalen Everett, the cornerback, is probably the best positioned. But at the same time, to what you're saying, Brian, I mean, I think that it's a situation where there's some guys that have to step up that aren't quite as proven and definitely don't have that much buzz, but are still, four stars, former five stars, guys that Georgia targeted in recruiting and have been a part of the program and are now expected to step up. And I think the thing that when you look at this roster on the whole, when I talk about this team, I say a lot of inexperienced but talented, young but talented, guys that have to step up and play bigger roles. And, it's a situation where, it almost feels like you're kind of cheating when you just kind of ride in 10, 11, I don't know about 12 regular season wins, but double-digit wins. But that's just sort of where Georgia is right now. And this will be a good litmus test for how we see the program going forward, just what they do in 2025, because there's a lot of talent, but a lot of those guys have bigger roles than they've ever had as Bulldogs.
And, of course, what makes Georgia so interesting is, I'm sure you use this website, Our Lads. It's a great resource for depth charts. They have their guys, and then the orange guys on there are your transfers. And nobody has less orange on their depth chart than Georgia does. I mean, when you look at their two deep, there's only four or five guys on there right now. I feel like, when you recruit the way Georgia does, that's not a huge issue. But people a few years ago were asking, hey, is what Ole Miss doing sustainable? So I guess my question to you is what Georgia's doing sustainable? If they continue to recruit high-end talent, I guess it is, but is there ever going to be a time where they have to take a deeper foray into the portal?
I think that is not what they want to do. I mean, I think the way they've done it the last few years, and personally just as someone who's followed college football I think this makes the most sense when you can recruit at Georgia's level, which I know not everybody can do, but Georgia's done a good job these last few years of, hey, we're going to recruit high school really hard. And then when we're going into an off season, say we're getting ready for 2025, we're going to look at maybe two or three positions where we feel like we need some help. And that's what we're going to go do and go target in the portal. They did that this off season. The two biggest positions that they felt were needs, wide receiver and defensive back. And they go get Noah Thomas from Texas A&M. They go get Zachariah Branch from USC. And then defensive back, I feel like, was kind of a little bit more of a shotgun approach of let's just try to get three guys and see what we can get between them. And Jaden Harris from Miami, Adrian Maddox from UAB, and Zion Branch, Zachariah's brother, also from USC. They are playing from a position where they know they can count on that high school recruiting and to generate and to develop that talent once it gets to Georgia, and then to kind of pick their spots when it comes to the portal. Again, not everybody has that luxury. Not everybody can count on getting at least a top five class every year, but I do think that's the preference for Kirby Smart and company, and I don't necessarily see that changing. I think they really want to emphasize high school recruiting more often than not.
Not a lot of players get dumped into the fire more than Gunnar Stockton did at the end of last season. Gets thrown in the SEC championship game. His first start is a college football playoff game. I thought he looked like a freshman out there at times, but you can see the talent level for him. What does year one of him as a starter look like for Georgia?
I think it's going to determine how far this team goes. And I've said this a lot this summer. Georgia's made it easy for me, Brian. Sometimes when we're talking about storylines going into a season, I mean, it doesn't get much simpler than how good does the quarterback play? And obviously, he's got pieces around him that are going to help determine that. But I think they've done a very good job of surrounding him with talent. I mentioned Zachariah Branch, as well as Noah Thomas. They bring back Colby Young. They bring back Dylan Bell. They've got Nate Frazier coming back at running back, and they go get Josh McCray from Illinois. I think that the onus is on Gunner to take advantage. And I'm not someone who thinks he's going to come out here and be like a first-team All-SEC quarterback, but I think he has the pieces around him to not force things. I kind of compare it to like 2021 Stetson Bennett, and I'm not saying their skill sets are comparable, but just go out there, don't make mistakes, don't turn the ball over, take advantage of what you got around you. I think these offensive skill players as a whole, probably a little bit more talented than that 2021 team, but that this defense will not be that 21 defense. But you don't have to be the hero. You don't have to go out there and throw for 5,000 yards and everything's got to live and die with you. Be smart and take advantage of the players around you. If he does that consistently, I think Georgia's in a great spot to be one of the top teams in the SEC and by proxy, be headed to the playoff again.
I always think of Georgia as running back you. I mean, ever since I was a kid, they've always had that elite guy. And you mentioned the transfer from Illinois, McCray. Is that going to be the lead dog in that backfield this year, or is it going to be one of these other talented kids that doesn't have a lot of experience, like you were just talking about, but the profile is there?
I think it's going to be Nate Frazier, who's a rising sophomore, but I think it will be him and McCray. And I think you've got Nate Frazier as sort of that lightning back, a little bit faster, and Josh McCray as the thunder, a guy that's just bowling over people. His
Thunder and
highlights,
lightning. What a great name for a podcast that would be.
man, someone write that down. Josh McCray is just a guy I would encourage folks who just like watching running backs, go watch his highlights from Illinois. I mean, had a great game against South Carolina in the Cheez-It Bowl last year. Experienced guy from Enterprise, Alabama. And Georgia's in a spot now where I think they feel really good about running back, where you got those two guys. You've got Dwight Phillips Jr., you got Chauncey Bowens. They've got probably six or seven scholarship running backs. Not all of them proven, but guys that they can count on. And they kind of got banged up early at the running back position last year and felt like they just never really could run the ball the way they wanted to. Brian, you mentioned how good Georgia is running the ball. They finished 15th in the SEC in rushing yards per game last year. I mean,
Never guessed that in a million years.
no. I mean, they just struggled tremendously to run the ball. And I think they made it an onus to try to improve and try to add some talent to that room this offseason. They did that getting McCray, and I'd be remiss not to mention Bo Walker, a true freshman they got from Cedar Grove, Georgia. And the name alone, an SEC running back named Bo Walker,
That's crazy.
that's something, but for real, he
Well, you
backed it
created
up.
in the lab. What's
It's
going on
like
here?
That's like a college football creative player on the video
Yeah.
game, but he backed it up in the spring, and I think Bo Walker will play quite a bit as well.
All right, you said this defense doesn't look like that 21 defense. What does it look like when we get to this point in the season?
I think it's going to be a really good defense. I think it's one that the thing I always point to with these defenses is how good does the defensive line play? Because when you look at 21 and 22, if I'm not mistaken, I think the 21 defense led the country in rushing defense, and then the 22 defense was like third in the nation. And that's something that, I think they need some guys to step up on the defensive line. I don't think they have a Jalen Carter or a Jordan Davis, a guy that's just, looks like a man amongst boys. But they've got guys that I think can make plays and can play at an all-SEC caliber. And the top guy I would say is Christian Miller, who I think will be that defensive tackle, a guy that played really well last year, a guy that got hurt toward the end of the regular season, missed a little bit of time. Comes back for the Sugar Bowl and has five tackles with a bad shoulder and winds up having surgery after the season. He's a guy I think people should keep an eye on, but I really like this defense on the whole. It's no different than any other year. They need some guys to step up. I'd point to defensive line. They need edge rusher, outside linebacker. They got a guy, Elo Madozi from Army, counting on him to step up as a starter there. And then the other safety spot opposite of KJ Bolden. If they can get somebody to settle in there and to really show that he's ready to fill that role, I do think this can be one of the best defenses in the SEC once again. And I think that Kirby and his staff are confident in this group, but a few of those battles have to decide themselves once we get into fall camp.
We're talking about Georgia. They're the defending SEC champions. Mississippi State was 2-10 a season ago. So it's difficult to say trap game with a straight face when we're talking about these two teams. But this game is right between the world's largest outdoor cocktail party and Georgia bringing Texas into Athens the next week after they play Mississippi State. Is there just a whiff of trap game to this for you?
There's a little bit, but I honestly think the way the game played out in 2024 is probably a detriment to Mississippi State's chances in 2025. Because I can go ahead and tell you, Brian, that Kirby Smart will be talking to the players and say, "Do y'all remember, what happened last year?" I don't remember how many yards Mississippi State threw for,
It
but
was over 400, I think.
I mean, they torched that secondary, and I think that in addition to having to go on the road and that piece of it, I think that it's not going to be a situation where they're kind of going through the motions. I think that Georgia understands that they can't get caught, sleeping against a Jeff Lebby offense. And I think you would know much better than me, but I think a lot of fans on the Mississippi State side are wanting to see some signs of progress in year two. And I think Georgia will understand that Mississippi State is going to want have something to prove going into that game, and they're going to be paying attention. They don't want to get caught sleeping that late in the season.
It was 306 for State. I forgot Beck threw for 459 in that game. It was the difference maker. And I think for State fans, Jordan, if they just had a repeat performance of what happened in Athens last year, this year, I think State fans would be like, all right, I take it. I think this year for State is so much about just being more competitive. And that game was probably the most competitive State was with any SEC opponent all season long, which is just crazy to think about when you're talking about the SEC champions. One last question for you with Georgia this season. I have them. Where do I have Georgia? I have them 11-1. Who do I have them losing? I have them losing to Texas. And I had that last year, and I think I was. They lost to Texas, right? So,
No,
oh, that's
two
right. They
and two,
beat
two and oh.
Texas. Who did they? I forget. I had it all mixed up last year. But when you look at Georgia this season, they. Back-to-back national championships, that creates a hunger to continue to win national championships. We're not talking about a hot seat or anything like that, but what is Kirby Smart expected to do this year?
I think at the minimum, get back to the playoff. And I think for most Georgia fans, they would say to win at least one playoff game. Now, obviously, the goal for many is to go and win the national title. But I think if there's a repeat performance where they go to the playoff and they lose like they did with the Sugar Bowl, that there would be fans disappointed. And this is just a very fun slate when you look at the regular season. I've got Georgia 11-1, and to me, I keep going back and forth between a home game against Alabama and then the home game against Texas. The one thing that really benefits Georgia this year with some of the questions we have, and again, Gunnar Stockton getting ready for his first season as a starter, their toughest games are going to be at home this year, as opposed to last year when they had to go to Tuscaloosa, they had to go to Oxford, they had to go to Austin. So how do they take advantage of those home games? And fascinated with Alabama, where Georgia just continually struggles to beat the Crimson Tide, and this is your best chance, maybe ever, getting them at home and seeing if you can take advantage of that. And then you got Texas, where I picked Texas both times that Georgia played them last year, and Georgia made me look silly. But you look at that Texas team, I think a lot of folks are looking at Georgia and Texas as the two top contenders in the SEC. Can Georgia take advantage of home field? How well is Arch Manning playing at that point? I think Georgia splits between those two games. I think right now I'm picking Georgia to lose to Alabama just because we've seen it over and over again. But that Texas game will be no walk in the park either.
I'm sure no Georgia fans gave you any grief about those picks either.
Well, really, by the time we got the SEC title game, they were thrilled that I picked. I was wrong the first time. So, yeah,
Yeah.
thank you. Thank you
There you
for
go.
doing
It's
that.
all about the science. We're big on that here on this podcast. Jordan Hill, Dogs 24/7, man. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you again in November, I guess. I'll talk to you in a few weeks though, in SEC Media Days.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.